welcome you to the county council for the first time.
Thank you, sir.
And if you would please explain to the council what I guess it is that you would like to do with your department, and we'll...
Yes, sir.
Go from there.
Greetings, your honors, people of Sussex County. My name is Jeff Christopher, and I'm your sheriff. I'm here today to present to you with goals and objectives for the sheriff's office, as you know it, for Sussex County. First, I will say that there has evidently been some misunderstanding as to the details regarding my plan. Let me make it clear today and dispel any rumors that may exist. My campaign was run on three prongs of interest based on the feedback that I received from the people who elected me. I met and heard from many before, during, and even and after, and even still after the campaign. This plan has not changed since it was first written in August of 2010 in my living room. My plan consists of three-pronged strategy and is as follows. First, my plan to modernize the procedures by which the office currently produces the civil work, create a smoother method of operations. In speaking with all of those who work in the office, currently work in the office, I learned that there were things that were outdated, antiquated, and non-conducive to an efficiency that should exist in a sheriff's office in 2011. Old equipment that no longer serves the need of the one office that produces most, I dare say, most of the paper documentation of any county branch. Machines not adequate for the level of production that we are producing. Complaints from the public seeking easier access to information regarding sheriff sales and civil process. Once upon a time, we had a website that existed and catered to this information with levels and tiers that also provided the information in a more user-friendly avenue than that which currently exists. So technology is a must, and specifically that which matches the current need of the office. Substandard processing procedures that are redundant and wasteful for county, public, and various courts. Remedied only by new policy implementation, which is currently underway. Communication standards, vehicles, and weapons that are unsafe for deputies and staff to use is what I inherited. Office space problems with no room to properly process the large volume of paperwork that we currently produce and receive each day. Safety problems with regard to office design and public access. No safety features for employees that have long been concerned due to past and various incidents of irate persons entering the office over court matters regarding family and other situations in the court. Understaffing in 8 months of arrears and sheriff sales, as most of you know, Sussex County Sheriff's Office needs manpower just to fix this problem alone. Not to mention the ever-increasing workload of court documents that are also in danger of falling even further behind, all due to the lack of manpower and the increasing foreclosure process. Your Honors, in that light, I ask you to consider increasing my staff by one road deputy and one office staffer to help me catch up in these arrears in the 8 months that's estimated that it is in, as well as grant me the equipment and update the office to the best level of efficiency possible. Second, a large portion of my campaign was spent answering questions from the public from various events and meetings attended during the campaign. Many asked what the sheriff's office could do to be more proactive and get involved in crime prevention and safety for people and developments in various places in the county currently not involved in those activities. My responses were all well received at all of those events, as my plan to create and put into task a crime prevention program which targeted children and seniors and any person needing information about the crime that may exist in their areas. The goal to partner and assist with various police agencies, citizens, and neighborhoods throughout the county is what is at task. Citizens would benefit from this education and information that would come from those efforts to help to keep crime as low as possible in this peaceful county. This is the most efficient and least expensive way to combat crime. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. This is with home invasions, thefts, ID thefts, crimes against elderly, such as scams and frauds, all on the rise nationwide and even here in Sussex County, and more retirees moving here, this is going to be an epidemic if we don't step in and take some sort of an action in a preemptive sense. What is community if it's not a partnership of people, businesses, government to strive to create a positive growth, seeking peace, prosperity, and the course of safety? But what about safety? Isn't it a moot point to do anything in a community if it's not safe to do it? Since taking office, I have sought to partnership with area police to implement programs for crime prevention and respond, and the response has been positive. It is my goal to take a more proactive role, just as I campaigned, in crime prevention because of the current climate of crime in society that surrounds us and is even falling fast upon us. It will serve to bring the community together on this issue and provide a way for them to express their concerns and ideas to keep our community safe and safer. Your Honors, here I ask you that you will approve one full-time deputy position and the support equipment to allow me to fulfill my campaign promises to the people of Sussex County and to the Office of the Sheriff, and assign that person to handle crime prevention duties as described. Lastly, during my campaign, I also repeatedly spoke about liability to the county. This is an issue that must be dealt with, and it must be dealt with now. Deputies are involved in volatile situations, and vicarious liability is a probability here, or likeliness here. I, for one, do not want to be sued, nor do I wish to expose anyone in this county to a lawsuit for failure to act and failure to recognize the need here. As untrained or undertrained deputies is a liability waiting to happen, in my view. We have had over a dozen incidents in recent months that involved deputy sheriffs in the U.S. where they were shot and or shot and killed over their various duties and performing their various duties. Your indulgence. We've had a great increase in crime right here in Sussex County with home invasions, robberies, thefts, and assaults. Crimes against the elderly with fraud and scams are also, again, on the rise. And what does this all mean? The time for prudence and professionalism in the Sheriff's Office in Sussex County has come. Training and certifications are what we need and what we need right now. What are certifications? Simply put, these are minimum levels of training that qualify that person to act and or to exist professionally in his or her performance of duties on a daily basis. It's not needed, you say? Any of you ever been between two fighting family members, husband and wife, father, mother, especially when it pertains to children involved? Sussex County deputies, for those of you who don't know, are involved in that each and every day. We owe it to each deputy and each citizen of this county to give the best efforts that we can make. Liability suits are often in the millions and tens of millions, and spending a few thousand dollars right now to prevent the millions of tax dollars spent for something in a reactive sense are what I call prudent and responsible if we act now. Deputy sheriffs put their lives on the line every day in this country, and Sussex County, Delaware deputies are no exception. When I came here, there wasn't so much as one existing standard operational procedure in writing at all in the office. Nothing for the deployment of any weapon that was issued to each deputy. And what I saw on the wall in the writing was liability, liability, liability. Standard operational procedures are being written right now and being placed into effect and will be placed, regarding weapons, vehicle operation, equipment use, and procedures of conduct expected of each and every member. Your Honors, here I would ask, like you to change this immediately and help me to do so. For the sake of all here and every person in Sussex County, and even for yourselves, we need to implement a way for these deputies to act upon situations that they are exposed to on a daily basis with the least amount of liability possible and maintain that standard through training. If they witness a crime or observe a wanted person in the course of their regular duties, they need to have the option to act to protect others and themselves then and there and in the future, not to mention the public in general who may be a victim at a later point should they not act. With the growing concern of crime and crime situations arising in our county alone that often involve illegal immigration, gangs, and the like, deputies are often witnesses to crime and routinely observe crimes. So do we turn our heads to this or allow them to act? Simply calling for the police to back up is sometimes not even feasible with response times into the hours. In closing, my desire to mark the sheriff's cars to provide law enforcement presence in these communities is also a direct response to public outcry to reduce the crime. It simply acts for itself. Anything we can do to reduce crime here is my goal to make this community and Sussex County a better and safer place to live. I realize that the process to train and prepare deputies for this will take time and effort and cooperation. I want to implement these plans in a manner that is proper, prudent, and within a reasonable cost. Let me reiterate, I do not wish to create a county police. That is not my goal. Just to bring what I have of staff currently, and maybe a few more, to a better standard with a professional level of operation. And that is my goal, gentlemen and ladies. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Did you have any questions of me?
I don't think so. We'll take under advisement. I'm sure that it's all on tape. We'll have a copy of that, obviously, and we'll review all that. I'm sure most of those things you will address in your proposed budget for next year, which starts probably next week's hearings, I guess,
yes.
Dave. So
yes,
all those things should be in there. And just for the information for the public, when we have the hearing on the budget, you certainly are welcome to come make comment on that at that point in time, too. So thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If anyone would like to speak, there is a section in our agenda after the grants and the zoning ordinances, additional business. You can sign up. There's a sheet in the back. You can sign up, and we'll recognize you then. Mr. Baker.
Yes, the next item on the agenda is discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance related to windmills. And at the last county council meeting, the draft windmill ordinance was discussed. After some discussion, Mr. Vincent requested that the draft ordinance be revised with some additional language regarding engineering certification. That change has been made, which basically would require engineering certification for the foundations and structures of windmills. Normally, the manufacturer of the windmill automatically provides the engineering certification for the structure itself. The proposed ordinance would provide a means to allow the construction of windmills on residential lots less than 5 acres, subject to the various restrictions imposed by the state of Delaware. For larger windmills or in windmill farms, there are other regulations recommended, especially mainly for those greater than 200 feet industrial zoning. So I know we've discussed this a number of times, and I don't, Mr. Lank is here, and I don't know if there's any questions or.
Anybody have any questions on the proposed ordinance or comments? Or I guess the question, I guess for Lawrence and or Everett, anything that is not in this ordinance that is in state law then would still, I mean, doesn't change. I don't see anything about the noise. I know state law requires that no more than 5 decibel increase over what's existing. That is still there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything in here about inspections and stuff like that? Are we?
No, there is not.
I don't think so.
There's no way we can add that in later, right? There's nothing. Is there anything in here? Because as I brought up once before, that you know these things have a lifespan of 20, 25 years, and as we see with dilapidated, you know, other things around the county, they just sometimes people walk away from them. Is there a mechanism that we can put in here now that if we don't like, we can take out, because we can't put stuff in?
Right.
So I'd like to still see an inspection process in there and something about that there is a lifespan and they have to come in maybe at the end of a certain number of years and prove that it's still a viable, you know, still structurally sound, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there's a certain inspection implied under B4, and it states that the owner of the wind turbine shall completely remove all the ground structures within 12 months after the wind turbine is no longer used to generate electricity.
But who's to determine that?
We talked with the electric companies about it, and also wind turbine company, and basically what we would need to do is approach the owner of the property, the windmill, and ask to see their electric bills to determine whether or not there's been a change, whether or not there's some sort of credit.
Well, I think that ought to be put in here. Something, some wording should be put in here that puts the public on notice that at some point in time, the county has the ability to request proof of operation or whatever. I mean, without it in there, I think without anything in there, Everett, you know as well as I do, if it's not there, you can't do it.
Is that, and would you say, Mr. Moore, that's sort of implied in that?
Implied means nothing.
Okay.
I don't think. I mean, that's my personal opinion, but I don't like the word imply.
Anything else?
How about if
just those two areas, I think.
How about if under item four we just insert the wording, and I ask Mr. Lang's input as well, the owner shall provide proof of operation if requested by county inspector.
Okay, that'd be good. And an inspection, like again, there's all these different manufacturers. Is there anybody going to determine if they're properly mounted? Like we do require, a manufactured home now to be, secured to the ground. I mean, we ought to make sure that these things as tall as they are.
Have you read this draft?
I'm just asking if it's in there.
If you've read this draft, it's all in there, George.
No, he just said it wasn't in there.
Well,
show me where it is.
It's in there. I read it.
Well, show me where it is.
A5 has second sentence on A5. Applicants shall submit an engineering certification for the foundation and windmill structure in regards to construction of the wind turbine.
I think we're well covered, personally.
Okay, I'm just when I asked, they said there wasn't.
On the board now.
There's something about that. Yeah.
Which number again, David?
A5, the second sentence in A5.
A5,
yes.
Well, actually, the first sentence, too, would probably...
It's at the top of the page there.
Section 18, A5.
Section 18, A5. Okay, but is there going to be anybody who checks that they have actually installed and maintained it with these manufacturers' instructions, or do we just assume they're doing it? Is that another implied assumption?
Well,
those two words I don't like.
Well, we certainly have our inspectors to go out and review. So our inspectors would go out and check to be sure the construction is done.
Well, it doesn't say
properly.
Anything about inspectors will do that. Can we insert something there and say inspectors, county inspectors will... make sure that the wind turbines shall be assembled. In other words, could we put in there maybe county inspectors or the county inspection agency or will verify that the wind turbines have been assembled, installed, and maintained in accordance with manufacturer's instruction? Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, I got this to say. You've got to give the people a little credit that's putting these things up, got little brains of their own.
But they can
hire people to do this right and go about it. What the ground rules are.
But Sam.
A little credit, George.
Sam.
Give people a little
Sam,
credit.
Somebody, Harry, a homeowner, could do it himself under this ordinance.
Alone, do it yourself.
No, it's not. That would raise some questions.
If they follow these procedures here, what we've laid down, that's plenty good enough for me.
Well, like
I'm tired of government, the way you think. Government has to be in my back pocket every time I turn around.
Okay, so.
And I'm fed up with it. Too much government. You're sitting here, more government. Big brother looks over my shoulder all the time. And what we've got down here in this.
Well, some people maybe need to be looked over.
Well, I don't think most of us out here are average intelligence.
And most of us, somebody out.
We've got more education today than we've ever had. We keep going to school, higher education, and yet you're saying we can't read a plan or a blueprint. And I say we can.
I think a lot of people can't read a plan or blueprint.
Well, I'm not in that category. I think I could put mine up.
Okay, well, we can take it out, Sam. Let's put it in. Let's see what the public hearing says, and let's just see what the general public maybe is concerned about.
This has been discussed numerous times. I think it's important that we do get an ordinance introduced. And if it is added in, it could be removed at the time of a public hearing.
Right.
On five, we could simply add this sentence, county inspector shall verify the construction according to those specifications.
That'd be fine with me.
And then it could be removed at the hearing.
At the public hearing.
At the public hearing.
Because we can't put things into public hearing. We can take them out.
It's better to have them in.
Thank you.
It's better to have them in. So if someone with those two changes, and I will have those so they could go on the county website immediately after meeting, but we could add those two items.
Yes. I'm wondering if we ought to add those in Section A, B, and C, because Section A pertains to wind turbines for use for residential purposes. Section B is for those 100 feet but less than 200 feet high, or where there are two or more for non-residential uses. And then Section C is for wind turbines with a greater than 200 feet.
I would recommend we put it in all sections. And then the higher you get, I would think the more important it is. But let's just put it in all sections and see where it ends up.
Okay.
So you can argue that we don't need them.
So the verbiage concerning the installation would be, as I read, county inspector shall verify the construction according to those specifications. That will go in each of the individual sections concerning that issue. The other one is concerning the removal, and the operation would be added. The owner shall provide proof of operation if requested by a county inspector.
Okay.
And that would go in each place. And then it can be introduced, and then during the public hearings, this or other modifications could be made.
Right. Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Would the council like to introduce?
Get my generator fixed, because after 12 months, I have to take it down and put it back up again, I guess, or something. But anyway, you see what number four.
Anything else, Everett? Dave?
Would the council feel comfortable introducing the ordinance as amended at this point? Or?
Somebody can introduce it. Can they?
Okay, we don't need to see the wording. We just heard what the new wording will be in.
Right.
So we're not introducing this. We're going to amend it.
As amended.
I'll introduce it.
Is our lighting what FFA requires?
I have a new ordinance.
That can be put in during the hearing.
Okay. Then Councilman Colvin introduced that.
I'll be glad
as amended.
Get it done.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And I will make sure that Mr. Guy has a copy of this after the meeting with the amendments in so that he can post it on the website.
Sure. Thank you very much. Mr. Report, Mr. Baker.
Okay, the next item is the Administrator's Report. First, National Association of Counties Legislative Conference Report. At the National Association of Counties Annual Legislative Conference in Washington last week, there were a number of helpful workshops regarding topics pertaining to Sussex County. For instance, there was information presented regarding information technology advancements, status of wastewater and airport improvement funding, and zoning. With representatives from other parts of the country, these workshops proved to be a valuable assistance and learning from experiences of others in other parts of the country. A meeting with our congressional delegation occurred on Wednesday, March 9th, where we were providing an update on some of the county's concerns, or where we provide an update on some of the county's concerns. Next, foreclosure prevention seminar. Attached is a press release regarding a foreclosure prevention seminar that the Sussex County Community Development Housing Division will co-host on March 15th. Today from 4:30 to 8 p.m. at the Dagsburg Church of God in Dagsburg. Another seminar will be held on March 22nd from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Milford Senior Center. County staff, including Ms. Brandy Bennett, will be attending to help provide information and assist those who can use advice and assistance. Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities. Attached is an agenda and press release for the March 21st meeting of the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities. The meeting will be held at the West Complex at 10 a.m. on March 21st. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, I have a few issues for you this morning. The first being a wastewater agreement. This wastewater agreement is Sussex County Project Number 81-04. Vincent's Overlook Phase 2A, Agreement Number 843. The developer in this case is Mr. Louis Capano from Wilmington, Delaware. The property we're discussing is at the intersections of Route 88 and Route 261. This will be part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving some 13 single-family lots. The total charges for system connection will total $57,343. We do have approval from DENREC, as well as our own engineering department. We're expecting 20 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $5,755.95, with a proposed construction cost of $38,373. I have a motion for that proposal if you'd like it.
Please, sir.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council direct, oops, sorry, wrong motion.
All right. I understand. We all make mistakes.
We've both done it, yeah. Okay.
You're only allowed one.
I know. Time's short. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 843, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Vincent Overlook LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Vincent Overlook Phase 2A, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Make a motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any questions on the motion? No, we'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Second item this morning, we have a request from one of our cities for a disbursement from the annual police fund grant fund. This request comes from the city of Milford. They're proposing to draw their full $20,000 allotment at this time for the purchase of a speed monitor device that's a trailer, sits along the side of the road, helps them control speed. If you would like, I'll read you a motion for that one, sir.
Please, sir.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve a disbursement from their annual municipal police grant fund to the city of Milford in the amount of $20,000 for the purchase of a speed monitor two-line matrix trailer.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? No, we'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The last item is I have some reviewing to do with you on some proposed state legislation. What I'm doing with you here this morning is simply a review and an update. Both of these pieces of legislation you had requested and approved last year. The first one was a change to state code that would allow us to more closely align our budgetary dates with our budget, our taxing dates with our budget, so that we close the books closer to the end of our budget time, which then removes a lag period that caused a lot of confusion with properties that had sold during that time. So we would have to rebuild the tax bill. The ambition last year was to change all dates in the state code that would allow us to close our tax warrant date closer to the end of our budget cycle. However, we made one error, and that is there was one date in the state code that we missed. So we have, based on the authorization to pursue this change, we have already drafted and had a bill introduced to make the one final date change that you'll find in Title IX, Delaware Title IX, Chapter 8601. There's one date in there that currently stands as May 1, and we'd like to get it changed to July 1. House Bill 31, which was introduced in February of this year, with 16 sponsors, I might add, will make that one final date change so that what you asked for last year will be completed. The second bill that I wanted to review with you has not yet been introduced, but it's a bill that you had requested in September of last year, and this bill will change the requirement that the code currently asks for. Currently, state code requests that all of our assessors be certified as appraisers. This was discussed at your September, I think it was a September 28th meeting last year, and you had authorized me to have a bill drafted to change this provision. The bill that's the last page of the handout that I just gave you is the bill that would change that. And let me try to clarify that for you so you'll remember doing this. I have the minutes. I've included the minutes from your September 28 meeting. And there was a discussion led by our director of assessment, Mr. Eddie Parker, explaining this dilemma that's caused for all counties and cities in the state of Delaware. This bill that I have before you would simply relieve us from being required to retrain all of our appraisers, all of our assessors, to be appraisers until such time that there might be a reassessment. After a reassessment, that would be appropriate. This bill that I have in front of you would change the state code that would not require us to retrain and recertify our assessors until after a reassessment is completed. Okay? So with your endorsement, I will continue to pursue both of those. I have a motion if you'd like to take action on this.
Sir.
Just be it moved that Sussex County Council directs staff to pursue changes to Delaware State Code as per House Bill 31 and changes to Title 24, Chapter 40, as it pertains to assessors and appraisers.
So moved. Have a motion.
Does.
You're waiting for a second. Okay.
We have no second. The motion dies for lack of a second. Thank you, Mr. Godwin. Mr. Lank.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
We have one item of old business this morning. It's the application for change of zone number 1697, the application of Landtech Receiver Services, LLC. An application for an ordinance to modify condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475, the application of Rabir Odyssey, LLC. As amended by ordinance number 2018 for change of zone number 1697, the application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC for the Peninsula, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community, to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse and nature center facilities. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on November 18th of 2010. The council held public hearing on December 7th of 2010. The commission rendered its decision on January 27th of 2011. On January 27th of 2011, Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of the application of Landtech Receiver Services, LLC, for an amendment of condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475, as previously amended by ordinance number 2018 for change of zone number 1697. Based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons, but modified from the proposal set forth by the applicants. One, a clubhouse must be built as promised by the original developers. That promise was relied upon by the county and by those purchasing lots within the Peninsula development. Two, a receiver has been appointed by the Court of Chancery to maintain and operate the entire Peninsula development, including the clubhouse. Landtech, the receiver, has made positive steps in continuing with the development of the project. Three, the development and club currently have a lot of substantial amenities. Many of these amenities would be included in a clubhouse, including a grill, pro shop, health and fitness center, locker rooms, swimming pools, and other facilities. Four, based on the governing documents of the Peninsula and the Peninsula Country Club, neither the developer nor Landtech are members of the club. Only members pay dues based upon the budget determined by the club each year. Five, construction of the clubhouse would place an undue burden on not only the developer or receiver, but also on the individual members, which are homeowners in the development. They would be required to carry the cost of the clubhouse and its operation and maintenance, Similarly, the increased dues associated with the clubhouse would adversely affect the marketability of future sales within the development, which are necessary to maintain its viability. All purchasers of residential units within the peninsula are required to be club members. Six, the county has received many letters in support of the applicant's request to delay construction of the clubhouse. In contrast, only one property owner has objected to the proposal. Seven, the applicant has stated that the required number of members necessary to construct, operate, and maintain a clubhouse will be achieved in 3 to 4 years. Eight, I do not believe that the applicant's proposal for determining the time frame to construct the clubhouse based upon membership is appropriate. The proposal places too much control over the timing in the hands of the developer, the applicant, or the club owner at the time. Instead, the county should set a specific date that is known to everyone for completion of the clubhouse. Nine, I also do not believe that the escrow agreement proposed by the applicant is the best means to guarantee completion of the clubhouse. The county's ordinances require bonds or letters of credit as guaranteed for completion. In this case, that means of guarantee should be used as well. And number 10 is recommendation that condition number 10 to change zone 1475 as amended by change zone 1697 should be as follows. A, recreational facilities, tennis courts, swimming pools, community buildings, pathways, trails, and beaches should be constructed and open to use by the residents within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. B, the Nature Center shall be constructed and open to use by May 30th of 2011. C, construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 1 year from the date Sussex County Council approves change of zone 1697, with construction to be completed 12 months thereafter. A bond, cash bond, or letter of credit shall be provided to Sussex County in the amount of 125% of the cost of completion of the clubhouse within 60 days of the date that Sussex County Council approves change of zone 1697. Indeed, the site plan for the clubhouse shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried with 3 votes to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 3-2. And for the purpose of the record, the votes were taken by roll call with Mr. Burton, yea, Mr. Johnson, yea, Mr. Smith, nay, Mr. Ross, yea, and Mr. Wheatley, nay. I would note that under B, under the recommendations of the amendments to the condition number 10, is that the May 30th date in reference to the Nature Center should be amended, since that's only, there isn't time to construct it now, because that recommendation was made back on January 27th. So it's 2 additional months have passed already. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Was that on Section B, Mr. Lank, that you were referring to?
Yeah, under 10 of the recommendation. Under B, it states the Nature Center shall be constructed and open to use by May 30th of 2011. That date was offered by the applicant. If there had been an immediate response and recommendation by the commission and council months ago, then that was probably a doable date. So there should be a change probably in that date if you give consideration to this approval.
So the big difference between what the applicant was asking for and what the commission approved was what the Nature Center? What was the applicant's position?
The applicant on the Nature Center, the applicant proposed the date of May 30th.
They had proposed it, but we can't make that.
I don't think you can make it. There's they have placed additional crusher run on the parking area. They put in the bumpers for the parking spaces at the Nature Center, but there's been no attempt to do any construction to date, waiting on a decision of council.
Well, weather's been bad and everything else. So what would they need to, what would a correction there be?
Well, that was proposed, assuming that since that was proposed in the public hearing in November, that would have given them 6 months.
So 6 months from adoption would be?
That's what they proposed back in the public hearing.
Okay, so you're still thinking the applicant is comfortable with a six-month period to do that?
Yeah, the nature center is more of a natural type structural.
When would that
materials? It'll be a more of an open.
Okay.
Building.
When would the 6 months start? That'd be the question now. At this
it
point.
Should be the date that the council makes a recommendation of decision.
Okay, date of approval.
If you make a decision today, then you should be 6 months probably.
Okay. Then then C I'm looking at, the construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 1 year. Would the applicant, what was the applicant's concern? They wanted what, 3.5, did I say?
Well, they really wanted to not start until they had a certain number of members.
A number of
certain
members.
Units.
Okay.
It was not based on a date certain. Instead, it was based upon the sales and money go into an escrow.
Membership categories.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of, these are really wide open. I mean,
right. Well, 1 year, I do think 1 year seems to be pretty stringent, especially in the days we're living in here with the economy. Huh? Well, I know, but a promise is a promise. I understand that, but we've had situations where. We've deviated from promises, haven't we, Mr. Phillips? I'm sure you're.
And we will in the future.
And I don't feel like bringing up a few, but
I don't think Cole, that's addressed at you.
No, I know that. I understand, but I'm just saying it just seems
unreal. That's addressed at the president.
It seems unrealistic. It does seem unrealistic if anybody is aware of the economy that 1 year is pretty tough. What is the consensus on addressing it? Through number of units or number of years, Mr. Phillips? What's your feeling on that issue?
Obviously, we're going to deviate from the initial promise. I don't have a problem with the 1 year as recommended by planning and zoning.
I guess, Lawrence, can they get everything, all their permits and everything, and do that in a year?
Well, that would raise the same question. I don't know.
Doubtful.
The 1 year, as far as completion, it depends on the size and the type of construction of the club.
And keeping
the first reference is that they commence no later than 1 year. They should be able to get their permits within that 1 year.
Okay. But keep in mind,
they have to start construction.
The question
would
be issue.
That it'd be 12 months or after.
Yeah. Right. Here's what concerns me. You've got the developer doing one thing, and you've got the people who live in there saying, hold off. They're actually, it seems a majority of them are saying, let's hold this thing off because the burden we're going to put on these people who have gone into this community is something we need to be concerned about. So in the past, Vance, many times we've had developers promise them, and the people are saying, where's what you promised? They want it.
Right.
This is a situation where it's just the reverse. So I think we've got to be sensitive to what's going on with the number of people living there and everything else. So, I mean, it's just,
right.
So it's just, to me, it's a no-brainer, but I think we ought to extend it probably by years. As opposed to number of units.
I didn't quite understand. You said there's going to be a burden put on the people if we don't.
No, there's in the past, Sam, we've had developments when everything was really.
I understand that.
Going gangbang.
You said here.
The developer wouldn't build the stuff. Now we have a situation where the residents are saying, we want it built, and they're coming in here screaming at us that they didn't get something.
Now, what I misunderstood, George, was you said it's going to be a burden put on the people. They have to go ahead and build this.
It'll raise their dues.
The people that currently they're living there. And because sales are so slow, the burden is on them.
In other words, the dues, when the single
dues would go up.
Will go up.
We'll go on this clubhouse.
If we build, if they have to build it, they've got to pay for it. The county doesn't pay for it.
Well, how about if you were one of the people, George, that still would like to have this clubhouse and had this promise given to you? How would you feel towards that then? Although you're only 20%, maybe. You're not the majority.
I understand. We'll see.
On that pretense, in a sense speaking.
Well, and unless you want to hold up, like if one person said they'd like to have it and 100 said no, I don't know. It depends on how you fall on that kind of issue. I think when a majority of people come in and laid out a good argument of why we should just delay it, they're not saying don't build it. They're saying delay it because of the economic.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying suppose.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about it all you want, but I'm just saying the situation here is you've got most of the people that I've heard from, and I think I've only heard one saying they didn't want it. Have the extension. In other words, the people living there are saying, extend it. We still want it, but extend it.
So. I've got a couple letters, but anyway.
Now, I do recall, and Mr. Moore, correct me if I'm wrong, that the attorney for the gentleman who was pushing to have the clubhouse built made a very effective argument that Wells Fargo is really the entity behind this. And Wells Fargo has very deep pockets, that these homeowners are paying into a homeowners association that should have collected millions of dollars, and that not necessarily should their dues go up if this clubhouse is built as promised. Did I misinterpret?
That was his argument.
That was his argument.
We don't know. You don't know if that argument is entirely correct. Everybody's making arguments.
Yeah, I didn't hear an effective counter argument. Maybe I missed it.
Well, we'd have to call up Wells Fargo, I guess. And Wells Fargo wasn't here.
I believe the applicant was here to represent their interest.
Well, is that covered in item 4 under the reasons where it says, based on the governing documents of the Peninsula and the Country Club, neither the developer nor Land Tech are members of the club, and only members pay dues? So the developer, whoever that is, and Land Tech aren't going to pay anything anyway.
Yeah, my recollection was that there was some counter to that. That was the argument, and the counter was based upon the different homeowner associations. And I do know that there was the receiver appointed, and everything was going through Court of Chancery as well.
I mean, I also recall that millions of dollars should have been set aside in escrow funds that were actually borrowed from the developer. I mean, there's just a lot of things that are going on here that, you know, makes me question how much faith. You are absolutely right, Mr. Kramer. You know, I guess I also heard that there was supposedly millions of dollars been paid into this homeowners association into an escrow account, but the way it was set up, the developer could borrow off of that account, and we're at a point now where there may be only a several hundred thousand dollars. I mean, to put a whole lot of stock in this developer, I think, may not be the most prudent course for us to take.
Well, it's the bank now. The developer's gone. All those things are gone, right? Here's the problem, Banch. You're sitting here saying, you're assuming this, you're speculating. What we do know is the economy's bad. Things have slowed up. They've got a clubhouse, which is going to be a big expense to the people living there. And for years, we gave all the developers all kinds of breaks. Now the homeowners are sitting here saying, give us a break. And that's all they're asking. So they're not saying, don't build it. They're saying, don't do it. The county can still stand behind, you know, what we've said we're going to make them do. It's just we're going to have to, you know, give them a little time.
Okay.
And I don't have any problem with that. It's not like we have taken some kind of legislative action and said, there's not going to be a clubhouse. We're not doing that. We're just saying we're giving a time extension. We had people in here not too many weeks ago saying developers need time extensions. Now you're hearing from a developer, but you're also hearing from a community saying, give us a break. So it's that simple. So you're bringing up all these things that we can't prove. It's just all hearsay. So I don't know. I don't know what the bank's doing. I don't know what the money's doing. If you know something, show me.
We'll have to maybe go back into the testimony then.
Well, I don't know if that'll prove. I don't know if there's anything in the testimony other than, again, hearsay, where people saying, and that was one guy who speculated about the, what's his name, with the big house. What's his name?
Silicato.
Mr. Silicato made that argument. The rest I heard were from the rest of the community saying, delay it because of the economic burden you're going to place on us. So it's a very simple situation, I think so.
Anything else for Mr. Lank? Does anyone care to?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a motion that we do. Can we make Everett a motion to address the nature center?
Yes.
And the construction of the clubhouse, all in one motion?
You can do that. It'd probably be cleaner if you did it separately.
Want to do it separately? Okay. Whatever I'm going to follow your advice. So let me make a motion first of all on the nature center. And the wording you had said earlier about, or Lawrence, would you put something there? Would be the best way to do a 6-month.
I said that's what was offered by the applicant.
Right. I don't think the applicant. Yeah. I don't know of anything that I've heard that's not.
Yeah.
The case. A 6-month operation.
That would be what, September 30th, 2011, if I counted correctly.
That'd be fine. So we'll amend that date to say September 30th.
So that would read, the Nature Center shall be constructed and open to use by September 30th, 2011.
All right, I'll make that motion.
Okay, we have a motion under 10B to change the date from May 30th to September 30th, 2011.
That'd be, I think that's it. Is that right?
I'll second.
We have a second. Any questions on the motion? Not, we'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
All vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The construction of the clubhouse. No later than, again, I'd like to avoid the number of units because that could be who knows how long. I would say 3 years from the date of the Sussex County Council approves change of zone 1697. Construction to be complete 12 months thereafter. So just change the...
You're changing 1 year to 3 years.
To 3 years.
Give them, that's to start, and then one year to be completed.
I don't see much. I mean, I personally, from what I'm reading and what I'm guessing, it's for the economy turnaround in 1 year, 1.5 years is going to be very difficult. But 3 years would give them enough cushion, and they will then have a date certain that the clubhouse will be built, and hopefully there will be more members of the community living there that will be able to afford it.
And they would still be required to do the 125% of the bond construction requirement.
I'd leave everything the same. I just would change the...
Or 60 days, excuse me.
Your change is just the 1 year to be commenced within 1 year and to begin with 3 years. Okay. We have a motion to make that change under 10C. Do we have a second? Okay. Motion dies for lack of a second. Next.
Not typically, but... It would seem like the site plan should be subject to any revisions and approvals of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Is that something that should be added?
Pardon? I'm sorry.
The site plan subject to the revision and approval?
It is number D. It's already there.
Okay, great.
The last thing item is the site plan for the clubhouse shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That would be the same as Nature Center would be the same, but it's required by code anyway. We usually just throw it in for reference, so there's no question.
Well, let me make one more shot, if I could, Mr.
Yes,
President.
Yes, sir, you may.
I'll make a motion, then we make construction of the clubhouse shall commence no later than 2 years. 1 year, we did have a 3-2 vote, and the no votes felt that the time should be longer, not longer than 1 year. 1 year is pretty extreme requirements to put on anybody in today. And you guys who, again, or not you guys, but many of this council's decisions have been so favorable to development to get it done, get it, make sure they have ample time. So I'm amazed that
we have a motion under 10C to change the 1 year to 2 years. Give them 2 years to commence it and 1 year to complete after that. Do we have a second for that motion?
I move we defer until Ms. Deaver gets back.
Second.
We have a motion to defer and a second. We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, we'll just leave the issue then if construction is open for
right. A few. And can we put this back on the agenda for next Tuesday, please?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lane. Mike Izzo, step up.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I have only